Mo'adim l'simcha, everyone. As you can see from the title of the shiur, first I want to apologize. I didn't mean to offend anyone by the title of the shiur. When I wrote Simchas Torah, I meant Simchas and or Simcha Torah, of course. And when I said tomorrow, I meant tomorrow for some beloved Jews and 2 days from now for other beloved Jews, of course. So what I meant to say is that perhaps we'll discuss for a little bit why is sometime in the next 2 days Simcha ending with the consonant Torah. And that's a very interesting question because although, as we may even be familiar with, although Simchas Torah is really one of the highlights of the cycle of the Chagim of the Jewish year, and I know people who've come from, some of us here are old enough to remember the Iron Curtain, Jews who came from behind Russia and the Iron Curtain, some of them, the only Jewish experience they had, the only Jewish memory, was someone once celebrated the Simchas Torah, made a tremendous roshen, had an effect on them. Simchas Torah, as big as it is not found anywhere in the Chumash. It is not Mida Oraisa. It is not even at least found explicitly, although we will see it fairly strongly implicitly, in Shas, in the Gemara. It's not even a Takana Drabanan. Simchas Torah is a minhag. The minhag is that we lane, and we finish laning every year on Simchas Torah. And we start the next cycle with Parshas Bereishis. This is my copy. I think I need it, but there should be some others floating around. I could try. The minhag hasn't always been that way. If you look at the first makor on the source sheet here, in the Sefer Chilukim ben Bnei Mizrach u'Ma'arav, which the work from the time of the Gaonim from over 1,000 years ago, which details and lists all the difference in minhagim between the Jewish communities in Bavel and the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael, tells us Anshei Mizrach osin Simchas Torah b'chol shana u'bnei Eretz Yisrael l'gimel shana u'mechza. Anshei Mizrach, those in the east, from here eastwards is Iraq. Right now, perhaps you wouldn't want to be there, but at one time it was a pretty flourishing Jewish community, as we know, in Bavel, Golos Bavel. That's they wrote the Talmud Bavli. So Anshei Mizrach in the east in Bavel, they make Simchas Torah once a year, but here in Eretz Yisrael, they made Simchas Torah every 3.5 years. That's because although there is a Takana Derabanan to lane the Torah, that we have to lane the Torah every Shabbos and pick up next Shabbos where we left off this Shabbos and eventually we finish and then we start again. The Rabbana never told us exactly how much to read every week and how long we should take in order to finish the whole Torah. So they just grew up different minhagim. The Jews in Bavel, and we are all descendants, halachically, we are ideological descendants of the Jews in Bavel because it's the Jews in Bavel who spread mostly to the diaspora who became our ancestors, so we inherited their minhagim. The Jews in Bavel divided the Torah into 54 parshios. What we call parshas, Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha, etc., etc. And 54 parshas is enough that even on a leap year, when most of the chagim don't fall out on Shabbos, so you have a leap year, 13 months, and you have a lot of free Shabbatot, you still have enough in the 54 parshios to cover every Shabbos. And when some more chagim fall out on Shabbos, or when it's not a leap year, so you double up some parshios. And they would finish the Torah once a year. In Eretz Yisrael, they divided that the Torah up into, don't recall exactly, 170-odd sedras. If you have a Korin Chumash on the opposite side of the page from where it says the Prakim, on the top of each page there are two numbers. It has the Perek number. The Prakim were invented by some monks at some time who wanted to divide the Torah up into Prakim and Psukim. Has the Perek, but to be more authentically Jewish, the Korin Chumash decided, if we're coming back to Eretz Yisrael, printing a new Chumash in Eretz Yisrael, we should return to our roots. So they couldn't take out the Prakim, because if you need to look up a pasuk, you're going to need to use those prakim, because it's just too late. We can't go back to every book ever written and change the Maror Makomos and take out the parak numbers and replace it with something else. But they also put the number of the Sedra of what number Sedra this was in ancient Eretz Yisrael when they used to lane the Torah over 170-odd weeks over 3.5 years. So in Israel, they would lean much less each week and take 3.5 years to finish. In Bavel, they would lean a whole parsha each week and finish every year. It's not exactly clear why they had these different minhagim. Many historians suggest that if you look at what was written on the Chumash, in terms of Peirushim on the Chumash, before all the Mefarshim that we know about, but in the time of Chazal, in the time of the Chum, time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, we know in Bavel they always read the Targum Didan, the Targum Onkelos. If you look at Targum Onkelos in the old days, in Shul, they had this really smart minhag in the old days. They knew a lot of people came to Shul didn't understand Hebrew necessarily. I think there are still people like that who come to Shul, various places in the world. So they said, okay, let's read the Torah in Hebrew and translate it into the vernacular, into the language people spoke, which at that time was Aramaic. Unfortunately, nowadays, we wish we could do the same thing. Have everyone come to Shul, let's say in America, read it in Hebrew and someone will translate it into English so people will actually be able to understand. But we can't really do that because it's hard for us to agree since we're not Chazal anymore. So it's hard for us to know that we have the English translation that's exactly the most accurate, best translation. So we don't translate it in Shul. But in the old days, they used to say Targum. And in Bavel, they would say Targum Onkelos. If you ever look at the Targum Onkelos, it's very much a pshat Targum. It just tells you an Aramaic shot of the words. So, in Bavel, the laning went really quickly. They said a pasuk, translate into Aramaic, said a pasuk, translate it, and they moved on. They could do a whole parsha. In Eretz Yisrael, on the other hand, if you ever look at the Midrash Agadah, the Midrashim, Midrash Rabbah, and Midrash Tanchuma, all these Midrashim, every single Midrash that we have was written in Eretz Yisrael, not in Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, they like to darshan more. Right, Rav Kook felt this was very important. This had to do with the nature of Eretz Yisrael, that in Eretz Yisrael, the wellsprings of the true wisdom of Torah in a deep way were able to put forth their waters more naturally, and therefore in Eretz Yisrael they invented the genre of Medrash and practiced it. But we can assume that in Shul Shabbos morning in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't just translate each pasuk like the Targum Onkelos, literally. If you look in some across the Dolos, they also have Targum Yonasan, which is not actually written by Yonasan ben Uziel. He wrote the Targum on Navi, but he didn't write a Targum on Chumash. It is a, let's say, a 10th century Eretz Yisraeldic Targum on Chumash, and it has a little more of a drushim. It goes into things at greater length. It delves into the Medrash a little more. In Eretz Yisrael, when they translated the Torah and Shul every Shabbos morning, they darshan more. They went into other themes. They've told stories. They brought out ideas. And that's where all the Midrashim come from. These were things which people said in Shul Shabbos morning as part of the drasha, which at that time was connected and tie into the laning. So it makes sense that historians tell us in Bavel, where they just translate each pasuk quick shot, they could do a whole parsha. So they finished every year. In Eretz Yisrael, when they darshaned a lot more with Medrash, so they couldn't do so much every Shabbos morning. No one wanted to sit in shul for 5 hours. So they laned a little less than a third of a parsha approximately each week. And that way they only made some kasar every 3.5 years. In any case, what we see from this is that there wasn't always Simchas Torah on Simchas Torah, because in the old days in Eretz Yisrael, they did every 3.5 years, and since it wasn't an even number of years, it wasn't always the same time of the year. You know, it would be Cheshva now, maybe next year it would be Adar, maybe next year it would be Sivan. You know, whenever they finished, then they made a big party. In Bavel, they made it at one point every year. And it seems to be that at some point in history, although no one's exactly sure when, they decided to make that point of the year. They had to pick some time of the year to make Simchas Torah. It was a one-year cycle. It's going to finish every year. They made it Simchas Torah. We see this difference between the minhag of Bavel and Eretz Yisrael in the Gemara at the end of Masechet Megillah, which is Makor number 2 and 3. In the Mishnah, which was written in Eretz Yisrael, tells us, the Mishnah, the Pesach, Korban, Parshas, Moed, Shel Torah, Kohanim, on Pesach, we lain from Parshas Emor, Ba'atzeres Shiva Shavuos. In Shavuos, we lain Shiva Shavuos from Parshas Re'eh, Barosh Hashanah V'chodesh Shvi'a L'Echol HaChodesh, B'yom Kippur Machreimos, B'yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, Korban Parshas Moed, Shiva Torah Kohanim. The last 6 words, V'shar Kol Yomos HaChag, B'Karbanos HaChag. What did they do in Eretz Yisrael in time of the Mishnah? On the first day of Sukkot, they lain what we lain, Shoro Chesed O'ez Ki Yivolei. Now, on the rest of the days of Sukkot, they lain from Pinchas, the parsha that tells us which Korban Musaf to bring that day. So what would they lain tomorrow on Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah? They would lain the part that tells us what Korban Musaf to bring on Shmini Atzeres. Nothing to do with finishing the Torah, because they didn't finish the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. But in Bavel, if you look at the Gemara's comment, the Talmud Bavli, they commented Yom Tov Rishon Chag Korin Parshas number 3 Mo'adoshim Toras Kohanim Uftirin Hinei Yom Bal Hashem Ve'ha'idna second line Ikatrei Yomi. Nowadays that we have 2 days in Bavel, although the difference doesn't really have to do only with having 2 days, but they need to fill in all the days. They have Yom Tov Sheni Shogolius. What do? L'machar Mikra Chinami Karina Afturim Mayim Afturina Vayikolu Melech Shlomo Shakon Yom Tov Chag Korin B'Kavonis Chag Yom Tov Achron Korin Kol Abachor Mitzvah Sechukim B'Bachor on Shmini Atzeres in Chol. They read Kol Abachor Maftim Vayik Kol Shlomo. Last half a line. L'machar on the last day, the ninth day, Korin Vizos HaBracha Umaftirin Vayamot Shlomo. Okay, they didn't yet have our minhag of having a maftir from Yeshua, but already at the end of the time of the Gemara, we know that in Bavel they lain Vizos HaBracha on Simchas Torah. So we see how in Eretz Yisrael they had no such minhag. In Bavel they had the meaning of laning Vizos HaBracha, and while it doesn't say explicitly that this was Simchas Torah, could have been coincidence they lain Vizos HaBracha, but it's a reasonable assumption that this is already evidence of the minhag to end the Torah and celebrate Simchas Torah on the last day of Sukkot. Now the only question is, why did we pick, now we're ready for the question we started with, why did we pick the last day of Sukkot to celebrate Simchas Torah? What's unique about the last day of Sukkot? So, if you look in the Machzor Vitri number 6, a lot of Rishonim discuss this, although somewhat obscure Rishonim, perhaps the Sefer Amanhig of the Ravana Yarchi discusses it in the greatest detail. The Avodraham discusses it, the Machzor Vitri discusses it. The Machzor Vitri is written by Rav Simcha Mivitri, a Talmud of Rashi, and Machzor in those days, nowadays we think of a Machzor, it means the tefillos for all year long, or nowadays we have a separate Machzor for each holiday, but in those days a Machzor meant more than that. 1,000 years ago, a Machzor meant not only the tefillos you say on the various Chagim throughout the year, but the Halachos as well. Basically meant the halachos you need to know and tefillos for all year long. So what does the Machzor Vitri tell us? Yom Tishi Sofek Shmini, the ninth day of Sukkot, which in Chutz Laaretz is a Sofek, that's Yom Tov Sheni, that it might be the eighth day. Korin Vizos HaBracha. Why? And he gives two reasons. One, Kidei Lismof Simchas HaTorah Shezochu L'Sayim Ol Simchas HaChag. In order to have the Simcha of Torah, it's a Simcha when you finish the Torah, it's a Siyum. Right? That's the Siyam Simchas Torah, the Siyam on Torah Shebetzav. So we should attach the Simcha Simchas Torah, the Simcha of Sukkot. Shekein Nichpola Simcha B'mikra Roshini Atzeres. Fisha Simcha Sechag Beruba. Why not attach it to the Simcha of Pesach or Shavuos? Because there's extra Simcha on Shmini Atzeres. V'hayisa Ach Sameach, the Torah tells us, on Shmini Atzeres. And we know Sukkot is the greatest Simcha of any Chag. That's why we say in davening, Chag HaSukkot HaZeh, Zeman Simcha Seinu. So if we have the greatest Simcha on Sukkot, and there's no greater Simcha than finishing the Torah, why not finish the Torah on Sukkot and have the Simcha there? That's one reason. V'od, another reason, K'dei Lismoch Birkas HaMelech L'Birkas Moshe. Because the end of the Torah of Vizos HaBracha has the Bracha Moshe gave B'nai Yisrael. And if you look in the Haftorah for Shmini Atzeres, which we'll all hear soon enough, we might want to get a nap in between now and then if you want to be able to stay up through the Haftorah Shmini Atzeres. But assuming we do that, in the Haftorah Shmini Atzeres will tell us that Vayamod Shlomo, Shlomo got up, Vayvarech Es Kol Kal Yisrael, he blessed the entire Bnei Yisrael. Vayom HaShmini Shilach Ta'am Vayvarech Us HaMelech, when Shlomo inaugurated the first Beis HaMikdash, he made the Chag of the inauguration, Chanukas HaMikdash, on Sukkot. And on the eighth day, he gave a bracha to the people. The people gave a bracha to the king. And the Rishonim assume the king gave his bracha when he says this beautiful bracha. Yashem Elokeinu Imanu Kasher Yayim Avoseinu, etc. This beautiful bracha that Shlomo gave to the people, he gave on the eighth day of Sukkot, on Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah. So, if Shlomo HaMelech found that the right time for giving up the king to give a bracha to the Jewish people was Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, then there's also a bracha, which is the first king of the Jewish people. Chazal tell us Moshe Rabbeinu is considered a melech halachically. When Moshe, the first king, gave a bracha to the Jewish people, it belongs on Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah as well. Shebi Yom Tov Akron, the Machzor Vitri says, I should birkas HaMelech, K'moshe Amru Chacham, Shu Cholok Min Achad, Shizrokok Levracha B'fnei Atzmo. Because on the eighth day, Shlomo HaMelech blessed the Jewish people, so we should learn how Moshe Rabbeinu blessed the Jewish people, because it's a day, a propitious day, for the king to give a bracha, and to remember that bracha, that it should be chal on the Jewish people. Now, these reasons might seem, perhaps, okay, a little weak. Do they really carry the day? Now, so, Sukkah is a great simcha. Shmini Atzeres is the height of the simcha. And Torah is a great simcha. So it has to be together. Or the second reason, Shlomo blessed the people in Simchas Torah. So we read Moshe Zos HaBracha Shevarech Moshe Bnei Yisrael in Simchas Torah. Are these reasons strong enough to carry the day? So perhaps, but if we look in the Sefer Amani, which unfortunately is not on my computer, so it's not here, but the Sefer Amani tells us there's something else going on here historically. Simchas Torah had to be around this time of the year anyway. Why? First of all, it might be logical when the year ends and the year starts, that's when we should change the cycle, but even more so. If you look at number 5, you have a takana going back to the time of Ezra. Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ezra Tikkun Lam Yisrael, Shu Yukorin Klolo Shabbatar Tzvanim Kod Latzeres. Ezra made a takana that you have to read the Tochacha with the curses. Lo Aleinu in Parshas Bechukosai before Shavuos, which we always do. The Sheva Mishnah Torah Kodim Hashanah, we have to read the curses of the Tochacha of Parshas Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah. You actually read each of these 2 weeks before these holidays. My timer. Why do we have to read the Tochacha before Rosh Hashanah? Amar Abayi V'Sem Rish Lakish Kedesh Tech Lashana V'Kil Loseha, where we get this phrase, everyone says, Tech Lashana V'Kil Loseha, Tach Lashana V'Kil Loseha. At least the first part of this phrase is from the Takana of Ezra. Ezra says, read the Tochacha before Rosh Hashanah, so we can show we finish the Tochacha, we are now finishing the curses of the previous year. We know the previous year had unfortunately some Tochacha, some Klolos for us, so we finish Tech Lashana V'Kil Loseha, we want to finish up those curses, leave them in the previous year, so we can start a new year on a note of bracha instead of klala. So if we think about it, if you have to read Bechukosai, you have to lay before Shavuos. And you have to lay Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah, then the cycle becomes sort of logical. If you do a parsha every week, and you start sometime in Tishrei, you'll get to Bechukosai before Shavuos, you'll get to Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah, and if you lay Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah, so you can't end the Torah before Rosh Hashanah, you have to end the Torah a little bit after Rosh Hashanah. Now, it could be in the old days, some people ended on Yom Kippur, maybe some people ended on Shabbat Shuvah. We don't know exactly what everyone did once upon a time. But if Mimela, the Sefer Amani tells us, you have to end the Torah sometime within the few weeks after Rosh Hashanah anyway, because you're up to Nitzavim Vayelech Hazinu V'Zos HaBracha, which, I mean, there's not much there. Between all those parshios, there's, I don't know, 150 odd psukim. So, 160 odd psukim, maybe. So, if you're almost finished the Torah Shana, so you have to pick some time in Tishrei to end the Torah, so now it makes perfect sense. If you have to pick some time in Tishrei to end the Torah, then what day are you going to pick? It has to be sometime in Tishrei. So what's the best time in Tishrei to end the Torah? Shabbos Shuvah, Yom Kippur, Shabbos before Sukkot, Shabbos Chol HaMoed, Shabbos after Sukkot, who knows? So then these reasons make a lot of sense. Number one, we have to have a big Simcha in Tishrei, so have the Simcha on the day of great Simcha of Shmini Atzeres. Or number two, if we have to end the Torah by reading the Brachos, King Moshe, bless Klal Yisrael, then it should be on the day, which is a propitious day for Bracha, when Shlomo HaMelech bless Klal Yisrael. So that's how the Sefer Amani explains the Rishonim. And basically, Ad Kan, Divrei HaRishonim. Up to now, we've learned, to the best of my knowledge, what's been said about why tomorrow is Simchas Torah. To review briefly, because the Takanas Ezra that we link Kisavo before in Elul, we have to end the Torah sometime around today, tomorrow. So we pick Simchas Torah for one of two reasons. Number one, a Simcha goes with the Simcha of V'hayisa Ach Sameach Shmini Atzeres. Number two, the Bracha of Moshe should be on the day, on the holiday, that Shlomo gave his Bracha as well. These are the two reasons, the explanations given by all the Rishonim, for how history evolved such that we made a minhag to celebrate Simchas Torah on the last day of Sukkot. Now, without necessarily contradicting the reasons given by the Rishonim, perhaps there's room to give an additional explanation as well if we understand on a deeper level what is going on in the Chag of Sukkot in the first place. We're all in Eretz Yisrael now. Hopefully many of us in the room are in Eretz Yisrael permanently. Those who aren't can change their mind at any time. We're at least in Eretz Yisrael for the year, for 2 years, 3 years, for Sukkot, or no doubt at least through the end of Yontif. In Eretz Yisrael, maybe, we should take a little bit of an Eretz Yisraelic viewpoint as to what's going on in the Chag of Sukkot. And we know that sitting, you know, in our nice sukkahs in Teaneck, we say, what are we celebrating now? We're celebrating L'man Yidu Doroseichem Kivas Sukkos, so Shavti is B'nei Yisrael, Votzi'i Yosami Eretz Mitzrayim. The fact that Hashem caused us to dwell in Sukkot, whether they be actual Sukkos or whether they be the Anonei HaKavod in the Midbar 3,000 years ago, so we sit in Sukkos to remember that aspect of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's all true, and that might be all that's true in Teaneck. But here in Eretz Yisrael, it's something else as well. If you look in number 7, what does the Torah call Sukkos? Just about as often as the Torah says Chag HaSukkos, it tells us the Chag HaKatzir B'Kareem HaSecha Shechzah B'Sadat, the Chag HaKatzir, the time of the beginning of the reaping of the wheat is Shavuos. The Chag HaOsif B'Tseis HaShanah B'Yas B'Chas MaSecha Min HaSadat. When the year finishes, you have a Chag HaOsif, a harvest festival, when you gather in all of your produce from the field. How did the ancient farmers used to work? They would, well, in America it works a little differently. That's why you have so many chadash problems. But in Eretz Yisrael, things only grow during the winter, pretty much. Because it only rains during the winter. So you can't grow anything without rain. So they would plant in Cheshvan. It would rain all winter, and that would cause the plants to grow. They would start on Pesach, they would start cutting the barley, and Shavuot start cutting the wheat. Some of the fruits would grow a little more based on the water already in the roots would continue growing. But they would basically be harvesting all their fruits all summer long. They would keep them in the field. They would dry out their figs. They would press their wine, their grapes into wine. They would squeeze their olives into oil. They would do all of those malachas that you might have heard from the 39 malachas of Shabbos to their wheat. And they would winnow and they would thresh and they would v'chule v'chule. And there are these big piles in the field of food, of produce they were working on. And at a certain point, the time came to bring it into the house, to a storehouse, to a machzan somewhere, in order to store it away for the next year. And that was Sukkos. Because before it rains, it can't rain. After I've harvested my wheat, and I've threshed it, I've gotten up the little kernels, and I've winnowed it, I've gotten rid of the chaff, I have this beautiful pile of wheat kernels ready to sell. I don't want it to get rained on at this point. So before the rains come in Sukkos, I gather all into the house, and that's the end of the harvest. It's now all locked up. I made my money for the year. Imagine, right, if you get your paycheck once a year instead of every 2 weeks or every month. And this was the time. So that's a pretty big simcha, Chag HaAsif. That's why it's called B'Tseis HaShanah. Why Sukkos the end of the year? Why do we start a new year, Rosh Hashanah Tishrei? Because agriculturally, that's the end of the year. That's the end of the process. We now have gotten all our fruits. We finished the year's work. We've gotten our paycheck, Ke'ilu. And the year's over. That's what the Chag was. Like in America, we say Thanksgiving. Except that the Torah commands us Jews take it a little more seriously than the American version of Thanksgiving. I don't know, maybe 300 years ago, the Americans took that seriously also, probably. But, right, and the pilgrims, when they weren't sure if they would have enough food to eat to survive the winter, if they would all die before the next spring came, and they had enough food to eat, and they gathered it in and locked it up in a storehouse, they probably had a big simcha also. So that was what all our ancestors felt like every year on Sukkos. Now I have enough food that my family and I and Am Yisrael can live through the winter when nothing else is going to grow. That's a pretty big simcha, and the Torah tells us it's a big simcha, so celebrate to Hashem. Thank Hashem, because ultimately, who gave you all this harvest? Hashem did. That is the Chag HaAsif. And if you were to ask, so what does that have to do with what we all learned in Teaneck, with the Sukkos that we have in the Midbar? So the Rashbam already solved this problem. The Rashbam in Parshas Emor on this pasuk tells us Man Yedu Doroseichem. He says Pshuto Kedivrei Omrim Mosecha Sukkah Sukkah Mamish. Says the Pshat is like the Shita that our ancestors lived in Sukkos Mamish. Although the Rashbam's idea would be equally valid regardless of how we interpreted Sukkos. What's the idea? V'zet Hamul Shel Davar. The Rashbam tells us number 8, the end of the first line. This is the idea of Sukkos. Chag HaSukkos Taselcha Ba'osbecha Migornecha Miikvecha. You make a Chag of Sukkos when you gather up your grains and your wine and oil, the osbuchas tuas haaretz, when you gather up all the produce of the land, uvateich emelein kol tov dagon tiros v'yasar. At this point of the year, your houses are filled with all good things. L'man tizkeru ki basukos oshav tizmei yisrael b'mbar barim shana b'lo yishu l'o nachla. So to remember, at one point for 40 years we lived in a desert, without any fields, without any homes, without any yishuvim. We were nothing, we were lost in the desert for 40 years. Right? If we remember, we were once in the Midbar and had none of this, and Hashem's the one who brought us into Eretz Yisrael and gave it to us, then the Chag, and we thank Hashem for Eretz Yisrael, is Sukkos. So we have to remember that we lived in Sukkos in the desert and didn't have any of this once. We keep our Sukkos of Shavti. If we remember we once had nothing, then when we now gather up into our beautiful houses in Eretz Yisrael, with our gather up all our produce and our living comfortably, securely in Eretz Yisrael, we'll know who to thank for it. Right, the bane of Jewish existence in Eretz Yisrael. Don't say, what does Hashem knows we will. It's human nature. We'll come into Eretz Yisrael. When we first get in, everyone knows. At first, you appreciate things. Thank you, Hashem, for giving us Eretz Yisrael. We used to be in the Midbar. Now I have a house. I don't live in a tent anymore. I have a field. I have work. I have a paycheck. I can support myself. Thank you, Hashem. And after a few years, thank you, Hashem. I say, well, of course I have it. I mean, it's mine, isn't it? Take it for granted. And after a few years, I say, thank you, Hashem, every year, every spring when the crops grow, and every Sukkot when I gather them in. But after a while, I say, look, you know, Taka, I worked very hard. What do you think, these grew on their own? Who do you think planted them? And who do you think plowed? And who did all this backbreaking labor? And who got up in the middle of the night to just put an extra overtime weeding? And who actually harvested all this, and who gathered it together, and who slept? I did. I deserve all this food. And you start forgetting about Hashem. So what is, as the Torah tells us, every year, when are you going to forget Hashem? What, you're going to forget Hashem in Cheshvan when you're looking up in the sky to see if it's going to rain or not? There's no atheist in a foxhole. No one, you ask a businessman, his whole business is totally depends on this one deal going through. He's nervous. Is it going to go through? Is this guy going to like it? Is he not going to like the idea? Is the presentation going to go well? No one's going to forget Hashem the night before the big presentation that's going to make or break the business venture. No, you're going to daven well that night because you know you need Hashem. Right? It's out of your hands. You don't know how it's going to go and there's nothing you can do about it. It depends if some other guy likes your presentation. All right, then everyone remembers Hashem. But once it's a done deal, once the money's in, once you've done your IPO, you've retired at the age of 26 and a half, and you're driving around your Lexus, then already okay, so I don't need Hashem anymore now, to be yachol, then you forget about it. That's what can happen every year at Sukkos. So what does Rashbam tell us? Tells us that's why the agricultural theme of Chag HaAsif is exactly dovetails with Basukos or Shatis Bnei Yisrael Be'eretz Yisrael. We remind ourselves every year that who do we have to thank for what we have, for Eretz Yisrael, for our beautiful houses? We have to thank Hashem. One can add to the theme of the Rashbam. Why do we leave our houses and go live in a flimsy hut every year for 7 days? Because now, what happens in the winter? All summer long, you're walking around, you're living on your merpeset, right? The real Eretz Yisrael way, the Middle East, is to live on your merpeset all summer. This is before they invented air conditioning. So, you live on your merpeset, you're out in the field working. The winter, what do? You come board yourself up in your house, because it's going to rain, it's going to be muddy, you're not going to go out quite as much. And you get all your food, bring it all into your house, you have all the provisions you need to hibernate through the winter, Ki'ilu. So you have everything you need, you don't need God for 6 months. So Hashem tells us, no, leave your house and live in a flimsy little sukkah like you did in the Midbar. Remember, it might rain on you, the wind will blow on you, maybe the bees will come into your sukkah. Remember that, really, you need someone else to protect you. You're not self-sufficient, you can't take care of yourself. Everything you do, even a big stone house, is merely a flimsy sukkah in the grand scheme of things, right? This year, forgetting about all our local tzarot, all you have to do is look throughout the whole world to realize that when push comes to shove, you could build tremendous stone buildings, you could build beautiful houses and mansions in Louisiana, in Florida, in Southeast Asia, and they're no better than a few flimsy bamboo mats if Hashem doesn't protect you from the elements and from the dangers of the world around you. Ultimately, either Hashem takes care of us, or we ain't going to take care of ourselves. And that's what we remind ourselves every year. This dovetails as well with the theme of Anani HaKavod. What does Anani HaKavod mean? It means that Hashem miraculously took care of us in the Midbar for 40 years. We didn't take care of ourselves. What we had about to eat in the Midbar, he gave us mud. We had about to drink, he gave us water. We had a roof over our heads, so we had a flimsy hut in the desert. That's not going to help us. He gave us Anani HaKavod. So remind ourselves every year, even though we've moved on from that, we've gone to Eretz Yisrael. Now we grow our own food, we dig wells for our own water, we build our own houses, but still it's ultimately all from Hashem. The food wouldn't grow if not for Hashem bringing the rain, and if not for Hashem protecting it from disease and from pests, etc. The water wouldn't flow if not for Hashem giving us rain, and our houses are only standing because Hashem ultimately protects us from, unfortunately, those things which we call disasters, which are part of nature, that are just part of the world we live in. That's what Sukkos is all about. It's about taking all the great things we have and looking back, saying thank you, Hashem. As well, the Sefer Chinuch tells us this might be part of the theme of a lulav and esrog. Why do we wave a lulav and esrog during Sukkos? So the Sefer Chinuch tells us, Kemo came number 9, mitzvah lulav shlosha minim ezash shorashi lefisha yimei achagim yisimcha gedol yisrael. Kireis hasifas hatzvus apiris ilim abayis. It's a big simcha for Bnei Yisrael and Sukkos in Eretz Yisrael, because they gathered in all their fruits to the house. They made their money for the year. The Oz Yismachu Bnei Adam Simcha Rabban. People are very happy. Bnei Kain Nikra Chaga Osif. That's why it's the harvest festival. Vitziva Keli Amel Lassos Lefon of Chaga Osoreis. Everyone! Right, you think there's any nation in the world from, you know, the beginnings of time till nowadays who, when they gathered all their produce and made their parnasa for the year, didn't make some sort of holiday? Didn't make an Oktoberfest someplace? Everyone did it, but Hashem commanded we shouldn't just make a big party and dance. We should have a simcha to Hashem and give shevach and odah to Hashem. Lizakos only is ikar simcha shlos, that the ikar simcha should be for Hashem and not just be congratulating ourselves. Uviyosa simcha moshech zachomer harbe mashkach min a yuris lukim ba yisahit, sivan o shalom kach vein yodenu, dvorim amas kirin osoni, ki kol simcha sli beinu lishmo vilechvodo, vayimertson li osomazke min amasameach, kimo sha'is a simcha ki tzadek vilemarpid, vyadumi tzadatevi ki arba minim tells these Arba Minim help us focus our simcha to Hashem. He goes on discussing the types of Jews, types of our body that we use, and Avodas Hashem we might have heard. He says, look, these four Minim, these are Minim that are Mesameach everyone. These are the most beautiful things we grow in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam also tells us more Nevuchim. Chelek Gimel Perek Mem Gimel. These, why did Hashem pick these Minim? Because they grow in Eretz Yisrael, they're common. The Rambam says they stay fresh for 7 days, which I'm not sure what he thought about the Aravos, but that's a separate sort of thing on the Rambam. The Rambam says also, because they symbolize the harvest that we've had in Eretz Yisrael, we take these lulavim and esrogim, we say to Hashem, Hodol Hashem Kitov, thank you for giving us this beautiful land with beautiful fruit, with all this produce, with this asif. Thank you for finishing our year, ending our year, betseis hashana, on the right note. So Sukkos, if we have to look at it agriculturally, what is it? It's a chag where we look back at what's happened in the last year, all the hard work we put in, everything we've succeeded and accomplished, and say, we know we worked hard, but ultimately it's from Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for giving us everything that we have. Now, what's interesting then, is if I had to ask you to put an arrow on the Chag of Sukkos on the calendar, going backwards or forwards, where would you put it? Well, at this point, hopefully I've convinced you. Put a backwards-looking arrow. We're looking at what we've accomplished and thanking Hashem. And that's what a Chag HaAsif is, thanking Hashem for what just happened. But is Sukkos purely backwards looking?
No.
Or is there something we do during Sukkos that is forward looking? What do we do during Sukkos? Who said it? Tfilas Geshem. We daven for rain. Right? We say Tfilas Geshem on Shmini Atzeres. Not only that, but all week long we say Oshanos, many of the Oshanos. This morning, we're about to say Oshanos. Many of them have themes of rain. If you look in the Oshanos, we're asking Hashem for rain to bless our crops of the next year. If you ask the farmer agriculturally, what does Sukkos represent? It's not only Chag HaAsif. Sukkos is the time when it's about to start raining. On Shmini Atzeres, we start saying, Mashiv Aruach Morin HaGeshem, because it's the season when the rainy season starts this year. It started a little bit earlier, inconveniently for us. But it's the beginning of the rainy season. This is the time. Now, what does a farmer have to do before the rains come as part of the agricultural cycle? Well, not all that much, right? Until the rains come, the year hasn't really started for a regular farmer. But for a Jewish farmer, for a religious farmer, what does he have to do before the rains come? We'll go back to Sefer Bereishis, right? V'chol siach hasadek term yeba arts v'l eis hasadek term yitzmach. When Hashem created the very world, the earth, there were no plants growing yet. Ki lohim tir Hashem elokim ala aret. Because Hashem hadn't yet given rain. Can't have plants without rain. There is no man to work the land. And Rashi tells us based on Chazal, what does it mean to work the land? Avoda, as the Gemara says in Tainus, there is no human being yet. Until Hashem created Adam, there was no one to daven for rain yet. Why does Hashem need to bring rain without davening? So what does a Jewish farmer have to do? What's the first thing you do in your agricultural year if you're a Jewish farmer? It's not anything physical. You daven for rain, because you need rain to even get the ball rolling. And that's what we do on Sukkot. If you look at the number 10, the Gemara in Tainus tells us, May Masam as Kirin Ala Geshamin, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mishas Tilas Lulav. Rabbi Eliezer says we start Mashal Ruach Amor to Geshen the first day of Sukkot, for the time of Tilas Lulav. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Mishas Anachasa, we follow Rabbi Yeshua on Shmi Yetzeres when we stop taking the Lulav. But Omer Eliezer, what's Rabbi Eliezer's logic? Hov Arba Minim Alalu Einan Barnel Leratzus Alamayim. Rabbi Eliezer says, look, why do we bring the Lulav and Esrog and Hadas and Arava? To Leratzus Alamayim, to Dam to Hashem, to give us water. Ultimately, these Lulav and Esrog, Hadas and Aravos, are a way of Davin to Hashem to give us water. That's why we carry them in Hoshanos when we say the Tfilos for Geshem. Ultimately, these are ways of davening for Geshem, of opening up the new agricultural year. If you, your ancestor, a farmer in Eretz Yisrael, the first thing he does is take this lulav and esrog and say, Hashem, what is this? Arve nachal, something that grows by a river, an esrog that, as I'll say, is gadol kol mayim, needs to be watered a lot. These are fruits that require a lot of water. We say, Hashem, give us water for the next year. We wave at the various directions so that the wind should blow the clouds in the right way, that the dew should fall properly, the Gemara tells us in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Zayin. Ultimately, if I have to ask you, what is Sukkot all about? Is Sukkot backwards looking? Are we thanking Hashem for what happened in the past in Eretz Yisrael? Is the farmer saying, I'm done, thank you Hashem? Or is Sukkot forward looking? The farmer says, I'm opening the new season, Hashem, please give us rain. The answer is both. And where do we see this? Number 11, the Mishnah tells us we don't need the Mishnah because we all know this without the Mishnah. When do we shake a lulav? How many times in Hallel? Three times, but only two different psukim. Which psukim do we shake a lulav? Hodul Hashem ki tov ki lulam chasto, and? Ana Hashem al shi'ana. Hodul Hashem ki tov ki lulam chasto. Thank you Hashem for what you've given us in the past. We use it as a means of thanking Hashem, like the Chinuch says. It gives us simcha and helps us appreciate what Hashem has done for us. Ana Hashem al shi'ana. Hashem, please save us. Save us from what? Save us from drought in the next season. The farmers are already starting to get worried about the next season. Is there going to be enough rain? So the lulav within itself symbolizes a dual theme. It's thanking Hashem for what's happened in the past year and davening to Hashem for what's about to happen in the next year. If we look at Makor number 12, the last thing we'll read, the Pasuk has a very interesting name for Chag HaSukkos. The Chag Shavuos Taselucha B'Kareit Tzirchitim that we know from Megillas Rus. Shavuos is the beginning of the wheat harvest. The Chag HaAsif, the harvest festival Sukkos, Tikufat Hashana. What word does Tikufat remind us of that we're going to have tomorrow?
Hakafot.
Hakafot. What does Tikufat mean? What is a Hakafa? What does Rashi say? Tikufat. Lashon Misiba Saviv the Hakafa. What's a Hakafa? You go around. You encircle. Tikufat Hashana. What is Sukkos? Not the end of the year. Is Sukkos the end of the year or the beginning of the year? Is it the end of the year we say thank you Hashem? Or the beginning of the year we say Hashem, please bless my Yodenu for the next year? The answer is not really both, but more than that. Tikufat Hashana, Sukkos is the cycle of the year. The year, we know the year is a cycle, but no other chag represents the cycle. Because every chag has its own place in the agricultural calendar. Sukkos represents the circularity of the year. At the exact same time the year ended, but say Hashana, what do we call Rosh Hashanah? Mei Shit Hashanah is the beginning of the year. The end of the year is the same as the beginning, which on a certain level is trite. Of course the end of the year is the same as the beginning. We start a new year, but it means something very deep in this context. What it means is not just that when you finish gathering your crops from last year, the next year cycle starts. Of course, that's part of nature. But when we finish thanking Hashem, when we finish our Avodas Hashem of Shevach Ve'odah, saying thank you Hashem for what we've had until now, we don't take a little vacation, right? Okay, we finish our Avodas Hashem. Let's take a little vacation. We'll serve Hashem more later. No, the moment we finish thanking Hashem for what's happened until now, we immediately, on that same Chag of Sukkos, start davening to Hashem to give us a bracha on the next year. A circle, unlike a line, has no beginning and no end. It continues forever. What are we saying? We start the year davening to Hashem for rain. We keep davening to Hashem for rain. We thank Him when He gives us a bracha. And when we finish thanking Hashem, what's the very next thing we do? We start davening to Hashem once again for the next challenge that's going to face us in life. You don't have to be a farmer to appreciate this theme. What's Sukkos teaching us? Because Sukkos is teaching us that we're always in some relationship with Hashem. We always have something to talk to Hashem about. Once we finish one challenge that we meet in life, and we give the proper hodah and thanks to Hashem for meeting and facing that challenge and having whatever degree of hatzlacha we've been blessed with, the very next thing we do is say, what's the next challenge I have in life? What's coming up next on my agenda? And how can I dive into Hashem to help me face that challenge as well? That's what Sukkah, it's the circularity of the year. That's why every minhag we have on Sukkos has to do with a circle. What do we do for Hashanahs? We don't just wave our lulav and daven to Hashem. We make a circle around the bima. On Sukkos, we have to make a circle for the Hoshanahs. Because that's the whole point of Hoshanahs. We're telling Hashem, this is a circle. The moment we get to the end point, it's also the beginning point. We're coming right back to you. There's no break. We don't go anyplace else in between. And that's why in Simchas Torah, what do? We do HaKafos, Tikufat HaShanah. We walk all 8 days or 9 days long, wherever we are, we're walking in circles. Not because a circle doesn't get us anywhere, but because a circle makes sure that as we're going where we need to go, we're still remaining the exact same distance from Hashem, close to Hashem, who's at the center of that circle. What's at the center? Halachically, that circle has to be around the Bima. The Bima represents the Torah, which is given by Hashem. Originally, it used to be the Mizbeach. At one point, we're saying wherever we go, we're always at the same distance from Hashem. We're never far from Hashem, because as soon as we finish saying thank you to Hashem for one thing, we begin the next. Now, if we can come back to where we started, why is tomorrow Simchas Torah? I think the answer might be obvious. What's the point of Simchas Torah? It's not just a siyum that we're happy we're finished the Torah. If so, I wouldn't have an explanation. What do we do? What's the first thing we do after Chasan Torah, after we say Reinei Kol Yisrael and finish the Torah?
We start
for Reishis Bar Elokim. Simchas Torah is not merely a simcha of finishing the Torah. Simchas Torahs are telling Hashem, like the Sefer Itter quotes from the Midrash, the Sutton says to Hashem, look, your people, Klal Yisrael, have finished the Torah and they're done with the Torah, so you be done with them, Chas V'Shalom. And we say back to Hashem, what do you mean? As soon as we finish, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, the end of his Os HaBracha, we start Bereishis Bar Elokim. We're never finished with the Torah. There's no break from Torah. And the Satan has nothing to say, the Midrash tells us. As soon as we finish the Torah, Simchas Torah is not just a celebration of finishing. It's a celebration of finishing and immediately beginning. What Simchas Torah tells us is that we never finish the Torah. We just started again and learned it on a better and deeper level. Right? There's some people, I have one friend who used to every year, he first would do Shnayim Mikraviach and Targum with Unkelos, then he learned Rashi, and every year he'd learn another parish on the Torah. So he would learn more and more and understand the Torah more and more deeply. At a certain point, he ran out of Pirushim that I had heard of and started learning ones I'd never even heard of before. But that's what we do in Simchas Torah. We tell Hashem, there's no beginning or end to Talmud Torah. Torah is a circle. Why are we carrying the Torahs in a circle around the Bima? Because Torah is a circle. It never ends. When we get to the end, we just start right away once again. There's no break from Torah. There's no end of Torah. We never finish the Torah. We just finish this cycle and start the next so that we can then reach the next madrega of understanding of Talmud Torah. And maybe that's why Klal Yisrael and their genius of Minhagim saw fit to establish Simchas Torah on the Chag of Sukkos. There's one Chag of Tekufat HaShanah, which represents the circularity of our relationship to Hashem on the personal level, in our personal lives. When we have our challenges, our struggles, whether they be Parnassah or whatever else they may be in our personal lives, we look to Hashem, we thank Hashem for our success, and then we look to Hashem once again without a break, then what better time of the year is there to represent the fact that in our intellectual lives as well in Talmud Torah, as soon as we finish, we start once again, because we're never really finished. We're in an ongoing intellectual relationship and spiritual relationship with Hashem. We're continually inspired anew and deeper and fresher by the words of Torah every year, without a break. And that is why on Shmini Atzeres, what makes Shmini Atzeres unique? The Tefillah of Geshem. Here's where we really say, we've thanked Hashem properly, we've started davening for the rain, now we're going to say, combine Shmini Atzeres Zachag, Sukkot is Zachag, Sukkot as more of the theme of looking backwards, Chag HaSif, Shmini Atzeres as more the theme in our halacha, like Rabbi Yeshua of looking forwards, we say, look, there's no break. We're continuing the cycle. So that's when we saw fit to establish Simchas Torah, which tells us Talmud Torah is a cycle that never ends. And every year we rededicate ourselves to the idea that Hashem is not something that comes, it's appropriate for one part of our lives or another part of our lives or one period of time or another period of time. Hashem's always there with us. We just have to know how to relate to Him. Likewise, Hashem's Torah, which He gave us a precious gift, is not only for certain times or others. It's not something we finish and move on, but it's something that's always with us. We can finish it once, only to begin it once again, to show our ongoing eternal relationship to Hashem and to His Torah. Chag Sameach.
There's two more I have outside. Yeah.